both of them, but there is a divider, either Prague or Shkia. So I understand that I can say, okay, I'm Rabbi Huda Tuesday and I'm Rabbi Chachamim Wednesday. But on what basis can you even ask the question that today, on one day, I'm going to daven both Mincha and Maariv between Prague and Shkia? There was no third opinion that there's no divider.
Right.
So one, how do we entertain that, and how do we in fact do that halacha l'maaseh throughout Kol Tutos Yisrael on Friday, in the contradictory? That seems to be like a third opinion, but there was no third opinion.
Right, so you basically approach the question from a couple different angles, and I want to kind of reduce the tension and then to agree that it is a tension. So, first of all, we do agree that it is a tension, which is why, for the most part, we do try to avoid the Karet of the Sasre, and that's why, ideally, we won't do that, because you're right, there should be a divider. So that's in terms of, yes, we do try to avoid the tension. Now, that being said, can the tension be reduced? So it can be reduced a little bit from a couple of perspectives. One is that if we do agree that there's some flexibility here that's not limited to once in a lifetime, that if we agree that the idea that you can follow either Rabbi Yehuda or Chachamim isn't just a lifetime decision, but you can switch back and forth because there is some type of inherent ongoing validity to both opinions, so then in theory it would even mean that even on the same day, at least if you could switch, if it makes sense on Monday and on Tuesday, in theory it makes sense on Monday also, both opinions. Because it's not necessarily that there is a divider, especially because we see that Mincha and Maariv don't necessarily have to define each other. It could be that Mincha has a certain time to it, and Maariv has a certain time to it, and that the time of Maariv is not defined by the time of Mincha ending. So in theory, it doesn't necessarily have to be that there's actually a divider. It could be two separate questions as far as when Mincha time is and when Maariv time is. And if you're allowed to be lenient, so to speak, in defining them expansively, maybe you could do it for both of them. The same way as the Mishnah says that you could tell guy A he's okay and you could tell guy B he's okay when they walk on the two paths, and it's only when they throw it both in our, when they throw it in our face that they're coming together. So then it's too blatant, but as Tosfos points out there, it's too blatant, but it's still logically the same thing. So it's just that we're not comfortable being so obviously contradictory, so midrabanan, we try not to do that, so we call it Tarta Desasre, and we try not to do it, but it's not fundamentally different. So it could be the tension is not as great as it feels, but still we do try to avoid it. We try not to do that. That's ideally. But then the question is, and they say that B'chol Tzvus Yisrael, we do it. So that's mostly on Friday night is where it's done. So that the Rishonim say that the imperative of Tosefes Shabbos, which seems to, even though Maariv is pointing out before, is really a later invention of the Mitzvah Min HaTorah, Tosefes Shabbos, theoretically you could do it without davening Maariv, but Maariv has become part of the vehicle for fulfilling this Mitzvah Min HaTorah of adding on to Shabbos. So the Rishonim discuss that it's a justification for this minor problem of inconsistency, especially because the inconsistency is not an actual inconsistency, it's more of an appearance of inconsistency. So we try to avoid the appearance of inconsistency, but it's worth it for the Mitzvah Daraisa of Tosefes Shabbos. But then again, even when it comes to Tosefes Shabbos, ideally we'll try to avoid it too, but most of us are many shuls not able to do it, but that we shall say is acceptable because of Tosefes Shabbos. Okay, so today let's try to address the issue of the possible gezeira for Kriyat Shema, the gezeira that we find in the Mishnah. We never read the end of the Mishnah, so essentially let's just take a look at the Mishnah again. Essentially the Mishnah says, Ne'emotzai karon Shema ba'arvin, so from what time do we read Shema? Mishah sha'kohan nechnasim la'achol b'shemasan, from the time that the kohanim go in to eat the truma. The Gemara is going to explain that that's a reference to Tetzik Kochavim, a roundabout way of saying it, but from Tetzik Kochavim on, that's when Shema begins. So that one line was what we spent all that time discussing, just the starting time. But most of the Mishnah is not about that. Most of the Mishnah is about the ending time. So when is the ending time? Ad Sof HaShmura HaRishona, Devar Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's the end of the first watch. The night is divided up into watches. It's the Gemara that's going to have a discussion whether it's a third of the night or a quarter of the night. Whichever it is, the end of that first fraction of the night, that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. And if we had followed that opinion, which we don't, it would be more parallel to our daytime Kriya Shema, where Kriya Shema during the daytime has a sof zman of a quarter of the day, so this would have paralleled. In fact, it doesn't parallel, we discussed the first time, as a source of surprise to the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Kesef Mishnah, who had made the suggestion that sof zman Kriya Shema during the day must only be a rabbinical rule, and most of his colleagues did not accept that view. So the point is that the other two opinions seem to see Kriya Shema as being much broader. Chachamim omer mat chatzos. Chachamim say it also, so far, a fraction, half of the night. Rabbi Gamliel omer ad shi ala menashachar. Until the morning star comes up, says Rabbi Gamliel, you have essentially all night. The Gemara has discussed that there are different ways to define when the night ends. The night ends when the alos ha-shachar, when the first star comes up, and neit ha-chama, essentially daybreak, different markers as to when the day starts. But whatever it is, essentially saying that Shema goes all night. So then the Mishnah tells the story, the poor sons of Rabbi Gamliel, their partying habits get recorded for posterity in the Mishnah. Says, it's not the, you think that you get in trouble. Maiso Ba'obano Vivesa Mishnah said happened that Rabbi Gamliel's sons came back from a party. Assume it was a Mishnah, so mitzvah. Amru Lo, and they said to the father, Lo Karinu Ishma. We didn't say Shema. Amar Lahem, he says to them, Imla Allah Amar HaShachar, if Amar HaShachar has not yet come up, Chayav Natem Lekros. Well, so then you still have time left, so you're obligated to recite Shema. Velozu Bulvad, this is not the only area in Halacha in which you find such a story. Amru Ela Kol Masha Amru Chachamim Ad Chatzos, any time when Chachamim say that you have a limit up to Chatzos, apparently, Chatzos is not really a significant marker in the Torah's definitions, that the Torah doesn't actually make mitzvahs that go until midnight. There's a Mishnah in Megillah, which is a reference to a little bit, in Dachaf, where the Mishnah essentially says that daytime mitzvahs go all day, and nighttime mitzvahs go all night. So this idea of cutting things off in the middle is not really true on a level in the Torah. So if you have this midnight pumpkin status, that's essentially must be a rabbinical gezeirah. That must be what the Chachamim put in there as a safeguard. And then the Mishnah goes on to say a little bit cryptically, Hekter, so you'll see in a second why it's so cryptic, because the Rishonim argue about what it means, Hekter chalavim ve'varam mitzvasam ad shi'alam ha'shachar, that when you burn the fats and the limbs of the korban, which is part of the basis for Maariv. Actually, we know that Shacharis and Mincha are patterned after actual Kurbanos, while Maariv has a little bit of less of a model in terms of the Kurbanos. So this, the burning of the fast and the limbs, so that mitzvah also really goes all night. And that anything that has to be eaten for one day, that mitzvah goes until the morning. That's a hint to a fact which the Gemara is going to deal with a little bit, that tachin is an area of halacha. We talk about the Beis HaMikdash mitzvot that has a different structure than other mitzvot. So we know it's going to be the first topic of the first line in the Gemara, that Shabbos starts tonight, God willing, and starts at night and goes into the day, and then it ends tomorrow night. So when we talk about the Jewish concepts, we're usually familiar with the idea that night comes first, then daytime. But when it comes to kachim, it's the other way around. Laila holech achar hayom, that the daytime for kachim starts, goes day, night, rather than night, day, which is going to be a discussion here. So if we say you can eat the kachim for one day, it means until the end of that night, ad she'olam ha'shachar. It's not going to end at midnight.
You're going to end at seisar kochavim of the previous night.
Right. Second end is the kochavim, that's either the night goes after the day, that's the first chiddush. And then also, what is the nighttime? When's the nighttime end? So the nighttime doesn't end at midnight, it ends in the morning. So that was part of Rabbi Gamliel's point. So what's going on? So why is Chachamim telling you the wrong thing, man? Dim came lam amar Chachamim ad chatzos. So then why do they say that you only have until midnight if Rabbi Gamliel is saying that it's not true? So that's apparently a gzeira drabanan kidei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, that we should separate, we should keep people far away from the aveira, apparently, of missing Kriya Shema. So there are many points of discussion in this Mishnah. I'll try to just highlight some of them this morning, hopefully within the goal of probably a one-session discussion, but we'll see, that essentially there are a couple of interesting points here. The idea that there is a gzeira for Kriya Shema is not unprecedented. You could argue that in the first mission everything's unprecedented, but in the broader picture of Shas, that it's not totally out of outer space, but it's a little bit surprising because the Gezeiros, for the most part, are usually for los ases. Usually when you have a prohibition, so the Torah tells us, don't do something, and the rabbis say, don't do something else, which could lead you to doing that. The idea of a gezeira to help a positive mitzvah is unusual. We'll see, there might be another model or two, but it's not the most prevalent kind of thing. Some point to that textually. There's a couple of reasons why it's not necessarily prevalent, but we generally assume that prohibitions are more severe than mitzvahs, so it's a bigger concern to possibly violate a prohibition than to leave out a mitzvah. Also, on a textual basis, the Gemara in Yevamos has a drasha that when the Torah says, "Ushmartem es mishmarti," you should protect my safeguard, so to speak, my mishmeres, however you want to translate that. So based on that, the Gemara says, "Asum mishmeres l'mishmarti," that you should make a safeguard for my safeguard, so to speak. You should make a protection for my mishmar. So if that's the basis, which the Gemara understands that as an instruction that we should make a safeguard, we should make a siag, we should make a protection for mitzvos, so the language of mishmeres is really a language of a prohibition. You know, the Talmud says that there are four different words the Torah uses when it wants to say something is prohibited, and one of them is hishomer. We should guard against something. So therefore the language of mishmeres that could be understood as meaning a prohibition. So when the Talmud understands that this pasuk is an instruction to protect mitzvos, it's really protect prohibitions. So the idea that we should be protecting a positive mitzvah is a little bit unusual. And there are some, the Primer Gadim has an essay about this, and others do as well. This might be a reflection of the unusual importance of Kriyat Shema as a mitzvah saseh, that essentially it's the Pledge of Allegiance of the Jewish people. And it's maybe why we started Shas with this. We discussed the last time, we discussed the first time, why it is a number of theories as to why Torah Shabbat Peh chose this topic to start with. So maybe Kriyat Shema is the Pledge of Allegiance to the Jewish people is not a typical mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah saseh that is subject to a little more protection than the average mitzvah saseh. So possibly it has this gezeira involved. However, it's also interesting, as much as it's a topic of the discussion in Mishnah and later on in the Gemara, is there really in practice such a gezeira? So that was actually a debate among the Rishonim. And we'll try to talk about it a little bit more, but the Rosh and the Torah assume v'halacha there is no such gezeira. The Rosh writes that it's not right to do major things like have a meal before Shema, but if you're not eating, if you're doing other things, you're not really doing anything major, so then in theory you could wait until morning, until right before morning, to say Shema. Sounds like from the pretty clearly from the Rosh's language, like there is in practice no gezeira. In other words, that we follow the view of Rabban Gamliel, and not the view of Chachamim. While the Rambam does record a gezeira, and we'll discuss. Just want to list some of the points. We'll discuss that in more detail in a few minutes. So there's a machlokus as to whether or not there is a gezeira in practice in terms of Kriyat Shema. And it's also interesting that Beis Halevi and others have discussions about this, that this is inversely related to another area. As I said, it's not completely unprecedented that there should be a gezeira by a positive mitzvah. So there's also a discussion about what about the afikoman? Pesach night, when do you have to finish the mitzvah of matzah by? If you assume that's what the afikoman is, that's itself a machlok Rishonim. Afikoman is either the mitzvah of matzah of Pesach night, or it's something else. Whatever it is, when do you have to finish the afikoman by? So that was two opinions in the Gemara. So either it's all night, or it's till chatzos. And there is an opinion in the Rishonim that it could be that the answer is a split, that b'nat Torah, it could be done all night, and that Chazal made a gezeira. And it happens to be that it's the opposite opinions here. The Rosh holds that there is a gzeira of chatzos by afikoman, and the Rambam holds there isn't. It's the opposite of the opinions here. And why that is, a lot of pilfering about what exactly explains that, but there is that difference. Although afikoman is a different type of mitzvah than Kriyat Shema, because it's tied into the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and when it comes to Korban Pesach, So we are, even though it sounds like it's a positive mitzvah, but we are dealing also with a prohibition, because if you keep eating it into the daytime, we have a prohibition of nosar, so that even though we're interested in the positive mitzvah, it connects to a lo sasei, so it really is a gzera on the lo sasei. But
which you cannot apply also to Kriyat Shema.
Which nosar has a parallel in Kriyat Shema?
Connected to the Tzelchal Avim, then you get into the predicament that if you will not do it, you will end up with Nosar.
Which is saying that, so therefore, on some level, we'll say there's a concept of Nosar by Kriya Shema. Right, so Shema is there, it's another point that since Shema is not really the same thing as Meir, really Meir is parallel to it, but Shema doesn't. You know, it's just that we group the two together. But even for Meir, it's an interesting point to what extent you could draw some type of an inference. So we'll get back to this question in a second of the Gezeirah of Kriya Shema. But it's also interesting that there's an ambiguity in the Mishnah. So if you read this Mishnah, what does it sound like is going on? So basically, Rabbi Gamliel is telling his sons that Kriya Shema really is all night, despite the fact that Chachamim say until Chazos. And you know what? Also, Hekti Chalav Bevar. So what does that make you think? What does it sound like? It sounds like there is a similar structure there, right? The Hekti Chalav Bevar also is all night Min HaTorah. And then the rabbis came and said, no, stop at Chazos. But if you read Rashi, so you'll see that this is actually a topic of debate. Because Rashi was actually of the opinion, Rashi later on, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, he says it's not a gzeira. That Rabbi Gamliel basically just brought this up, apparently, to illustrate the fact that nighttime mitzvahs are really all night. That's if you look at this, this Rashi, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, that's Shum Bachila. When it comes to Kriya Shema, to motivate people, people won't say, I still have time. And while he's saying that, all of a sudden, daytime's going to come, he's going to miss the time of Shema. So, Chazal made a gezera. The Hekter Chalavim, and the reference in the Mishnah to Hekter Chalavim, lo amru bo chacham chasol's klal, chachamim did not make such a gezerah. That's not true on a level of Torah or Drabana. V'lo nakal uhacha el hodiyah shekol davar hanoi v'layla chasher kol halayla. The only reason it gets brought in is just to show that nighttime mitzvahs go all night, which is, as he goes on to say, is what essentially the Mishnah and Megillah tells us. That nighttime mitzvahs are all night and daytime mitzvahs are all day. So it's surprising. Read the Mishnah before you see Rashi. You wouldn't think that's the case. It sounds like from the flow of discussion that Hektech Lav Vevar and Rabban Gamaliel are saying is like Shema has the same structure all night, but the rabbi says until Chatzos. So the Rambam does take that view. The Rambam believes there is a Gezerah by Hektech Lav Vevar. So why would Rashi say there isn't? So there's a couple of possible reasons. First of all, we're dealing with Beis HaMikdash. It's usually the case that Beis HaMikdash, we don't find Gezeiras as much, because the Kohanim are dealing there, and the Gemara says Kohanim's reason. Kohanim basically can be trusted not to fall under distraction or not to fall under neglect. So therefore, we have less of the need to make Gezeiras in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's one possible reason. It's interesting, Rav Schechter often comments, quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, as when he talks about the whole idea of rabbinical law, and how when the rabbis make a din, so it becomes a part of the Torah, it becomes a part of the Torah Shabbat Pat. And he says, you shouldn't think that when you're dealing with rabbinical law, that it's any less of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah than Torah law, than mitzvah Zoraisa. So he would give the example often, that we're learning brachos here. So it's all the Chagos used to say Shirim on brachos in the Maria Shul. He said, I think, 12 years in brachos and many years learning Mesachos and Megillah. So maybe you would think that we shouldn't spend so much time learning brachos and Megillah, because those Mesachos, right now we're talking about Shema's Mitzvah Daraisa, but a lot of Mesachos, brachos, and Mesachos and Megillah is about Mitzvah Drabbanan. The Purim mitzvahs and stuff, and Kriyas HaTorah, Mesachos Megillah, and most of davening and the brachas that we recite are rabbinically obligated. So maybe if you want to use your time more efficiently, maybe we give the example. Maybe we should learn Zvachim and Menachos more, because in those areas, talk about the Karbanos, very little time is spent on Gzeiros Drabanan. You don't find so many of them in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. So if that were true, which he then goes on to refute, he says that studying Dinim D'Rabbanan is just as much Talmud Torah as studying Dinim D'Oraisa, but the assumption that he was refuting that maybe you should spend your time only learning Mitzvahs Min HaTorah would have said maybe we should learn Brachos and we should learn Zvachim and Menachos, because in that arena you don't really have Kavanas, you don't really have Gezeiros D'Rabbanan so much. So that's one possibility. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, they have a sefer of Chidushim that they printed, I think it was in three volumes of Chidushim from the Lubavitcher Rebbe called the Chidushim for the Urim al HaShas. So he thought that there is possibly a reference here to an idea that is usually attributed to the Taz. In later sources, the Taz on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch has a principle which really many others agree with, that there is much precedent for it, but the Taz spelled it out. And it's a very well-known Taz. David Cohen has a sefer called Gvul Yavetz, where he has an essay about this Taz. He says this Taz is so well-known that if someone says, Ha Taz HaYadua, you know, the known Taz, the famous Taz, talking about this Taz. And just now, he recently came out with a separate book where he reprinted this essay, and the whole title of the book is Ha Taz HaYadua, the famous Taz. So what's the famous Taz say? The famous Taz says that even though the rabbis can prohibit things that the Torah does not prohibit, but they don't prohibit things the Torah explicitly permits. If the Torah happens to mention something as being mutter, so then that is out of the range of rabbinic authority. So there is a pasuk that says that this goes on ad boker, goes on until the day, until the morning. So maybe Rashi was working off of this principle that therefore Chazal could not come and say that it does not go ad boker. Then you have to figure out how does the Rambam fit into this equation. Does Rambam deny that principle? Does not seem like he denies that principle. So Lubavitcher Rebbe has an essay explaining where he might subdivide the idea and maybe he can reconcile the two. But that's an issue in general. Is there a gzeira of Hekdev HaChalav Me'varim, as the Mishnah kind of sounds like? And Rashi is telling us there isn't one. So what exactly is behind that discussion? Why should there be a difference? But what about Shema? So is there a Gezera of Shema? So there is essentially three opinions which are very interesting conceptually. Practically, as we'll discuss, they make very little difference in practice. And that's the three opinions basically. You have the view of the Rush and the Torah, as I mentioned before, that we don't follow the view of Chachamim, that there is no Gezera. Essentially, Kriyat Shema can be recited all night. You have the view of the Rambam and others that there is a Gezera, that Kriya Shema is until Chatzos. And then you have the view of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah surprised a lot of the Achronim. Shagas Aryeh has a whole essay arguing on Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a shuv against Rabbeinu Yonah. That Rabbeinu Yonah essentially says, what does this Gezerah mean? This Gezerah means that the Torah says it can say Shema all night, and the rabbis drew a line in the sand. They said up until Chatzos. What happens after Chatzos? After Chatzos, you turn into a pumpkin. There is no mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That essentially the rabbis uprooted it. They took it off the table. That as far as the Torah is concerned, you have a mitzvah of Shema all night. And the rabbi said, we're limiting it. It can only be done until Chatzos. After Chatzos, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Shema.
That's the Rambam in the morning. You can't be elected to live but the one.
So the Mishnah says that, right? So the Mishnah seems to say, especially if we understand that there's a mitzvah, that there's a concept in the Torah of Sof Shema and Kriya Shema. So then what the Mishnah seems to be telling us is that the mitzvah by itself expires at a certain point, and after that it's simply Talmud Torah. But if you believe it's a mitzvah in the Torah of Shema all night, so then to say that the rabbis made it expire, not just ordered you to do it earlier, but said it expires, that's surprising. Now we know that there is a concept of Yesh Kalach Bidei Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah, that the rabbis have authority to uproot Torah law. The most famous example, assuming that it is an example, is if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so it's a mitzvah in HaTorah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah whatever day of the week it is, doesn't distinguish between Shabbos and weekdays, and the rabbi said don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So we know the rabbis told us not to perform a mitzvah in HaTorah. But this is very extreme on a couple of levels, because here the idea that they negated the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not at all obvious. And here there's no competing avera. In the case of blowing shofar on Shabbos, so So we were worried that maybe one would come to carry the shofar on Shabbos. So we have a tension between the positive mitzvah of shofar and the avera of carrying the shofar on Shabbos. So the rabbi said, out of deference, out of concern for the avera of violating Shabbos, don't blow shofar. There's no competing avera here. So Rabbeinu Yonah's view that nonetheless the rabbis came and delimited it in such a powerful way, they have the authority to do that is one question, but why would they do that is the second question. You know, what exactly is motivating them to essentially void the mitzvah after Chatzos is a very surprising idea, and it's a source of a lot of controversy.
That's not Chatzos. Once the Rabbanim changed the mitzvah, the previous Torah mitzvah is a mitzvah.
Right, that's a debate in general, so that probably, I think we will run out of time, we'll have to continue that a little bit on Tuesday, but just... We'll just lay out a little bit more what some of the surprising points of this is. So first of all, that there is no competing avera that motivates it. One thing that we'll mention two points. One thing that I have to try to understand, not clear which it is what exactly is the goal of the gzeira. So are we saying essentially that what are the rabbis gain by saying that after Chatzos you're done, the mitzvah is not an option anymore? So are they trying to protect future nights? They're saying, okay, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you realize that you blow it, you can't fulfill Kriyat Shema anymore, so now the next night it's not going to happen because you'll feel bad because you were punished the previous night. So are we sacrificing a mitzvah here in the interest of a mitzvah in the future night, which is an unusual formulation. Again, I don't know how much of a precedent there is for that in terms of other mitzvahs. Or is it that it'll help for tonight, that if you know that if you miss Chatzos, you are out of the game, so then you'll feel more pressure to do it before Chatzos and you won't miss it. But then that's even harder to understand, because then Chazal negated the mitzvah after Chatzos to protect what? To protect the gezeirah. What's the motivation? Just so they make sure that you'll do it before Chatzos. Why do they have to take such a drastic step to push you to do it before Chatzos if you do it after Chatzos, you're not doing anything wrong as far as the Torah is concerned? So they're not protecting the Torah, they're protecting their own gezeirah then, and that's also very hard to understand. So it's perhaps more likely that it's about future nights, but then again, that's a very unusual thing that will punish you now, so to speak, that you know, you come late this year, we'll lock the door, don't let you in, so that tomorrow you'll come on time. But you'll miss today's year, so we'll have you miss completely so you don't miss in the future. It's an unusual type of gezeirah, and not sure what else it matches in terms of... in terms of Shas. So we'll continue this point on Tuesday. As mentioned, practically it makes very little difference, because is there a gzeira or not in terms of Shema? So we're all going to do the same thing anyway. We're still going to advocate that you say Shema before Chatzos. The Chatzchila is certainly going to be recommended because of the possibility that there's a gzeira. If it happens to be after Chatzos, we're still going to say Shema anyway, because what do you lose? It's only a question in Shemayim whether or not that fulfills the mitzvah. So that's really a question for God more than for practice, because you're going to do it one way or another. And on top of that, the question of whether you're Yotze, the whole Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's a little bit surprising with so much discussion about it, because Rabbeinu Yonah, if I'm not mistaken, he says he paskins like Rabbi Gamliel. He himself thinks there's no gzeira. He's explaining, what does Chachamim mean? When Chachamim say there's a gzeira, they meant that there's a gzeira even that you shouldn't be Yotze at all. But so is there any Rishon who actually says that in Halacha? It doesn't seem like it, because even the one who brought this idea to the table, Rabbi Yonah, says, I personally hold like Rabbi Gamliel. But if I held that it was up until Chatzos, that would mean that there's no Kiyum after Chatzos. So I'm not sure if there's any Rishon who actually says, I follow Chachamim, and that means there's no Shema after Chatzos. So practically, has very little difference. And we'll talk a little bit about your point about what exactly is the lumbus behind that. We'll talk to that woman on Tuesday. Fantastic job.